from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Yeah, so I guess it's just today that remains undecided for the Washington Nationals pitching rotation. Tomorrow, Matt Waldron will face Mitchell Parker, who's actually pretty good season. 17 starts, got a sub-4 ERA, a whip, a 1.1-something.
Righty, so, lefty, do we know?
Righty, I believe. Nice. Padres did not face him. No, he's a lefty, actually.
Lefty,
got another lefty in there. And then Patrick Corbin, the veteran, is going to pitch in the series finale against Dylan Cease. Of course, another lefty there. So
get some Donovan Solano action in the next few nights, I would imagine.
Yeah, hasn't played lefty in the first half, in the second half of the season yet.
Get him going.
Who do you take out of the lineup, though, if you want to get Donovan Solano in as designated? Let's say you get him in as designated hitter. Who do you take out of the lineup?
You probably give Crony a day, maybe.
Okay.
Just one day.
And then Arise a day?
And then maybe Arise a day. Yeah.
One each? Because you got to leave Xander and Manny in against lefties.
Yep.
Probably Kim in against lefties as well. So they each get a day. Donovan plays. And then you go back.
Who plays right?
That's a good question.
Can Donovan Solano play right field?
Don't think so.
I don't think so either.
That's... Everybody just had a day yesterday, though.
Who did?
Everybody just had a day.
Yeah, everyone just had a day.
The All-Star break. I mean,
yeah. That's
and they
the
get
thing.
A day off on Monday.
Well, if you love the matchups, though, you know, you need to get... Solano has been a really nice find for this team, and for him not to play at all the first three games is, you know, it is what it is, but got to get him some looks.
I mean, do you call anybody up? They've had Iggy working in
the outfield. Yeah, Iggy's been working in the outfield.
In AAA, he's good against lefties. Is that a possibility in one of the next, at least two games against lefties that we know about in this series? Tirso Ornelas was added to the 40-man roster, not to the 26, but he's an outfielder as well. Now, he's not a right-hander.
Right,
but
lefty.
He's a lefty, but do you call someone up, or do you just ride with David Peralta, who's had a pretty hot bat, and just have him go up against lefties, even though he's obviously stronger against right-handed pitching?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I would say a good problem to have, but no, that means one of your
Fernando Tatis Jr. would be an excellent
He'd be an excellent
option.
Add, yes, to right field. Yes, yes,
in right
yes.
field.
I don't think he's quite ready, as he's just doing some light jogging and whatnot, but you got to keep these guys sharp because we need all these cats in the second half.
People in the chat are saying, you know, does Ha-Seong Kim get that spot on the bench if
slide,
we're talking about giving somebody a rest?
Slide Xander over to short, potentially.
You could, but you know, again, Ha-Seong Kim against lefties
is
usually pretty good. So you don't want to take the right-handed bats out of the lineup against the left-handed starters. That's the luxury of a little bit of depth. Padres have it in the infield. They still don't have it in the outfield until Fernando Tatis Jr. comes back. So that's kind of where we're looking at right now. We've got lines open for Take on Woods coming up in a few minutes. 833-288-0973 if you want to join us. 833-288-0973. Let's see, a couple other baseball notes from yesterday. Interesting game last night as the Dodgers and Giants played. And I know some Padres fans, including Woods, were kind of seething a little bit as they saw who made the start for the Dodgers in his major league debut. River Ryan.
Yeah, looked good.
Which, if you might remember, just kind of a former somewhat low-level Padres prospect.
By the way, I don't think we even had him pitching, if I'm not mistaken. He was like a...
Did they convert him?
They converted him.
They traded him for essentially nothing.
For Matt Beatty.
Matt Beatty.
Who makes
like, what, a month of Matt Beatty?
Who's an Amarillo sod poodle right now, Matt Beatty is. And I watched him come in last night. And yeah, I watched him pounding the corners. I watched him throwing 95, 96 with a lot of confidence. Got a good team behind him. Teoscar Hernandez had a big night, knocking in all three runs, 3-2 win. Out-dueled Blake Snell. I got to tell you, I'm watching last night. And I'm like, all right, well, I didn't know anything much about River Ryan. I just knew he was a Padres prospect, so I'm watching him. And then then Blake Snell's on the bump, and I'm like, whoa. And then they cut to the dugout for a challenge, and there's Bob Melvin, and then there's Ryan Christensen on the phone doing his bit, and I'm like, I just had like the icks, man. I was like, this is too much. This is too much. I hadn't really seen Blake throw in a while. You know, Blake throws one. 95, little bit off the plate. He does the Blake Snell jump because he doesn't get the call. And I just had I was like, this is all too familiar right now watching this.
Six innings for Blake, four hits, two earned runs, four strikeouts. He is definitely looking more like Blake Snell than he was. Yeah. And the thinking is the Giants, even though they're now, I think, five games under .500, that they're not going to be sellers at the break. Yeah. They're still counting on, you know, Robbie Ray and Alex Cobb coming back from the injured list and trying to make that second half push. But it never happened under Bob Melvin with the Padres last year until it was too late. Can the Giants avoid the same fate as the San Diego Padres this year? Didn't help yesterday that they lost 3-2 to the Dodgers. The Royals Diamondbacks game was interesting as well, with Bobby Witt Jr. getting three legs of the cycle, the toughest three legs, the double, the triple, and the home run. And then he needed the single, and he got drilled by the Diamondbacks. And then the Royals came back and retaliated, leading to some benches clearing, extracurricular activities. You were watching that, too. What did you see in that?
So I watched Bobby Witt Jr. come up to the plate and wear one on the hands. And you saw immediately the Royals dugout. I mean, again, a single away. Single away, the Diamondbacks are getting bodied. They just bust him in, hits him on the hand, and you see Salvi Perez in I think he was in the hole, and he just goes, F! And he was so mad, and he's like, that's effing BS, right? So I knew at that point, as soon as I saw Witt get hit a single short of the cycle, I went to my MLB app and I put the game on because I knew what was coming. Well, I suspected I knew what was coming as watching baseball my entire life. And a guy named John Schreiber comes in. The first batter he faces is Alec Thomas. Alec Thomas is a left-handed hitter. And Alec Thomas was visibly waiting to get hit. Then he grounds out, I think. Then Ketel Marte comes up, and Ketel digs in. He's a veteran. He's like, go ahead, hit me if you want to. And I think he grounded up. Well, then the next guy comes up, and it's Gabby Moreno. And a couple pitches, and next thing you know, boom, got him with a little slider, like 81 miles an hour on the hip, essentially in the back. And he just flipped his bat, ran to first, get it, it's over. The thing that surprised me was Torey Lovullo coming out and just chewing the umpires out after both teams were warned. And yeah, man, he says, well, obviously we're not going to hit one of the best players in baseball. It was an accident and this and that. Now we got a warning. We can't pitch inside. So look, it's happened 75 billion times in the history of baseball. I will say, watching Schreiber come in and have his teammates back is pretty cool. And again, I've been arguing with this preteen on Twitter for like 2 days. He's like, I don't like this violence. And I'm like, is it violent or is there a way to do it? Again, I've never wanted to throw at somebody's head, neck, you know, and shoulders and down is fair game for me. Gabby knew it was coming. He knew exactly what was coming. He took it. He wore it. He went to first base. This is the part of the game that I like, that part of the game. Having your teammate, defending your teammate is a really good thing inherently. Now, there's no other way to do it instead of going up and saying, hi, how are you? I'm John Schreiber from the Kansas City Royals. I really didn't like when you threw at my teammate. That really hurt my feelings, and I'm sad about that.
That's the Padres way.
That's the Padres way. Yeah, that's the Padres way. And that's always bummed me out. It's always bummed me out. And I saw excuses last night. Well, you know, when it happened to Tatis last time, we didn't have a very big lead or we were trailing. And okay, fine. Situational is fine. This was a perfect time to do it last night.
Is there a trend now in baseball, though, that you're trying to hide it a little bit when you retaliate?
Oh, absolutely.
By making it a slider. By throwing it at the ankles.
Throwing at the ankles, yeah.
By just a fastball in the back.
Fastball to the back. Yeah.
Is that making it, like, missing the point, though? If you're retaliating, don't you want it to be a clear retaliation? Fastball, you know, at the hip. That's how it's supposed to be done. Not
stare him down.
Not a slider.
Let him know.
Not a ball at the ankles. Yeah, you stare him down.
Don't pull the, oh, it was a curveball. It slipped. Yeah. It slipped out.
No, if you want it, I mean, if you want to do
your ejection,
do it.
And then you move on from that point. But this deception, this, oh, no, I didn't mean to do that. Why would we do that in that situation?
Well, I think these days you almost have to, right? You just have to.
Let's just say Profar gets drilled tonight.
Yeah, if he gets hit,
like the Nationals are still salty from last month.
You're going to see bloodlust on my Twitter account.
If Profar gets drilled tonight and the benches don't clear, I'll be extremely disappointed in every single person.
You don't
on
get
that
to
team.
Hit someone twice.
I know. I know.
Whether or not the first one was intentional or not, you can't just hit the same guy again.
Trust me, buddy. I know. I will lose mind if somebody gets squirrely and throws it Profar or something. But no, man, it's happened to the Padres so many times over the years where it doesn't even get guys off their feet, you know, in the dugout, really. I mean, man, let's never forget that one, Manny, 98 to the back. And I looked, you know, they panned over to the thing and everyone's just sitting there on their iPads, and I'm like, how does this happen? Like, this doesn't happen in adult league. You know what I mean? Like, I would like to see a little bit more of that from the San Diego Padres. Again, not calling for violence. I'm not calling for you to beat him with a bat. Hit a guy in the hip and let him know, hey, man, don't bust our superstars up and in around their head or their neck.
I don't remember who was pitching for us, but wasn't it Seattle and J-Rod? Like, we threw high and in or something. No, I don't think it was intentional, but still, ball went towards his head.
They went.
And the whole Mariners team
jumped
the rail and was ready to go. And I'm like, huh.
That's okay. Look, I'm not
that
saying
good.
All we've heard this season is
good things
about how much they love each other and pull for each other. All right. Well, we'll see. I mean, this could be a test this weekend or this week. I don't think it is. I don't think the Nationals are going to do anything, nor should they, because, you know, it's over. This is over. There should be no bad blood.
I agree. It's total hypothetical, though.
But
something happens, I mean, dude, there's no other opportunity. You have to go out there.
And you know, the Royals were enjoying the luxury of a nice, big, fat lead last night, and that certainly helps. Much easier to do it in the next inning instead of, I'm going to put this in my pocket for down the road. Mike Schilt's pockets must be overflowing right now with memories and IOUs right now.
Well, if you always wanted to take your shot at Stephen Woods, now's the time. Let's get to it. Take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Woods. Woods.
Take on Woods is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. All right, let's, you know what? I'm going with our friend Jordan in North Carolina today, and there's a reason for it, because I need to get rid of one of my categories, and I think he's going to help me on this one today. So, good morning, Jordan. How are you?
What's up, Ben? Good to be back. It's been a minute.
All right, let's see if you can take down Woods. I know what you're going for. We got seen and heard. We've got three times a lady, but girl power, and I know you like to go with the newer music, and that's the 2000s and 2010s category, which I think is your best shot. So is that what you want to play today?
That is exactly right, and you know how I do it. Give Woods the category. I wanted to know. Yep.
Take on Woods is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. You're playing to qualify here in July for the two-night getaway to the Rio Las Vegas. Two nights, the dinner for two, the day bed at the Rio Pool, newly remodeled rooms, new ownership, four brand-new pools, and a new food hall. Book now at RioLasVegas.com. So, girl power, all the song titles end in the word girl. You have 60 seconds. You know how it works. The first questions are 2 second song. Pauly, going to play the music. You need to give me the title and the artist to score that point, and we'll go on from there. This is your shot, Jordan. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
All right, 60 seconds on the clock. Again, the category Girl Power from the 2000s and 2010s. Your time starts when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Jordan. Let's take on Woods.
This was never the way I planned.
I Kissed a Girl, Katy Perry.
Correct. Australian band Jet had their highest charting single with which debut hit from the year 2003.
Are You Gonna Be My Girl?
Correct. Gwen Stefani jump-started her solo career with which single that ended up at one of the top hits for the entire year 2005?
Hollaback Girl.
Correct. Luke Bryan asks, who to shake it for me in the title of a 2011 country mega hit?
Pass.
1 year before Seven Nation Army, which critically acclaimed song became the first to hit the alternative charts for the White Stripes?
Oh, I bet he's going to get this, but I don't know. Let's go back to the other one again.
Luke Bryan asks who to shake it for me in the title of his 2011 country mega hit.
Oh, I think you stumped me here.
Country can be
tricky. See if I can use the remaining time to try to think of it. Oh,
it's going to kill you. You're going to know it.
What is it, Pauly?
Country girl, shake it for me.
Yeah, country girl, and the other one was
one of the worst songs of all
Fell
time.
In Love with a Girl by Seven Nation Army. I do think Woods likes the White Stripes, or not by Seven Nation Army,
I'll
but
say
the
right
White
now,
Stripes.
I don't think he's getting the Katy Perry.
But I think he's going to have trouble. He might have trouble with Hollaback Girl. I don't know. We'll see, Jordan. Hang on. You got 3 as the score. Bring Woods back into the studio.
What are you doing?
It's quiet in here.
Yeah.
Waiting on you?
Just waiting on... Waiting on Woods. That could be a song.
Yeah.
Waiting on Woods.
I'm not waiting on a lady. I'm just waiting on Woods.
All right, let's reset the clock. 60 seconds. Right. Woods doesn't get the category.
Jordan said, give him the category.
Oh, he wants the category. All right, well, it's our last Girl Power category.
Girl Power, okay.
Yeah, but it's a little more modern. 2000s, 2010s.
Oh, boy.
Makes it a little tougher for you.
Yeah, a little bit.
All right, 60 seconds on the clock. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Woods. Let's take on Jordan.
Never the way I planned.
Pass.
Australian band Jet had their highest charting single.
Are You Gonna Be My Girl?
Correct. Gwen Stefani jump-started her solo career with which single that ended up was one of the top hits for the entire year 2005?
Hollaback Girl?
Correct. Luke Bryan asked who to shake it for me?
Country Girl.
Correct. 1 year before Seven Nation Army, which critically acclaimed song became...
Fell in Love with a Girl.
Correct. Back to our 2 second song.
This was never the way I planned.
To Paramore?
No.
All right, well, I'm out then.
You did win, though, 4-3. Oh, you beat Jordan. He was confident. He liked the category. He knew the modern music was his best chance. I thought that was the most famous song of the 5 that we played.
Who is that?
It was I Kissed a Girl
Katy Perry. I was going to say Katy Perry. Damn it.
But you got the other ones, including the country one, which sometimes trips you up.
Yeah, the Beavis. He looks just like him. I don't know. What do you want me to say? He looks just like Beavis.
He's very famous and successful.
He looks identical to Beavis. Doesn't he?
I can't tell. One of them's a cartoon character. Not even that.
Pauly, you're my back
drawn
on this.
Of a cartoon character.
He looks just like Beavis.
Pauly can call it up in the chat over the break. We go side by side.
It. Yeah, it's identical.
It's like the squinty
eyes. It's the squinty eyes. You put him in an AC/DC shirt or something, it's over. It's over.
All right, we've got Don't Do This coming up next. Actually, we got a fun Do This coming up next involving friend of the program who had a big night. We'll get to that after a check of traffic with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Don't do this.
It's time for... Don't do this.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't do this, brought to you by the Kraft Taco in Sorrento Valley. Kraft Taco has some of the best quality tacos in all of San Diego. Go to thecrafttaco.com. Take a look at their happy hour specials today. Thecrafttaco.com. A mini don't do this to Stephen Woods, who apparently has confused Beavis yeah. with Butthead.
Butthead. He looks just like Butthead.
But Luke you feel Bryan. Like Luke Bryan looks like
I mean, look at it. It's pretty similar, I'd say.
It's identical. It's identical.
There is a certain,
yeah,
resemblance.
A little bit. I misspoke. I'm sorry for the misinformation.
I think everyone still knew what you meant.
All right, I'll get us started. Don't spread false rumors, fake news,
like I just did.
Yes. This comes from the Olympic Games getting ready to start in just a few days, and there was a pretty big rumor going around among the athletes that the Olympic Village, the rooms, were equipped with cardboard beds that were not going to stand up to, let's just say, the rigorous nature of young, virile Olympic athletes.
I don't know what you mean. Explain.
Well, there's certainly been a history at the Olympic Games.
Because they thrash a lot in their sleep.
No, like, you know, you get people from different countries together for a couple young people.
Right.
And things happen. You know,
like
relationships
what?
Form.
Huh, like friends?
Couples
friendly?
Couple up. Doggy style. And they're reportedly...
Pound town.
So, yeah, the rumor was that they're just like these rickety...
They're made out of cardboard. They are actually made out of cardboard. cardboard.
Cardboard.
But two of the first athletes to arrive, Tom Daley, a European diving champion, Irish gymnast Reese McClanahan.
Like some of the greatest athletes in the world.
Yeah.
The pinnacle of their life.
They get to sleep on cardboard beds. But there's
Can't get them a decent bed.
They showed, and they did videos, and they, you know, the gymnast was like jumping around doing flips, jumping on the bed. It stood up to anything he could throw at it. Whatever they've done with the cardboard. And there's a mattress on top of the cardboard. It's just a frame.
Carnal relation.
It's all held up. So they're not worried about... They actually thought, like, they did this on purpose to discourage the athletes from getting together.
Yeah, because...
In the room.
Because how many times have you been about to make love and then you thought, you said, oh, my bed isn't... We can't do this. You can stand. You can get on the ground.
Remember the last Olympics?
You could get in a bathtub at your resort. You could get into a balcony. You could get into a closet. You could sit down on the ground. There's many, many ways. Where there's a will, there's a way.
Weren't allowed to at the last Olympics because of COVID.
Right.
Now they can go back to freely congregating.
Love. Right.
And apparently the Olympic Committee is providing 200,000 condoms at the Olympic Village just in case. They need that many for 2 weeks. I mean, there's a lot of athletes.
That's a lot.
That is.
That's a lot.
I mean, there's just not that much free time.
Oh, my God.
Boys, why don't you take us to a little doo-doo.
Let's do a doo-doo this. We'll go pause.
DD mega doo-doo.
Top of the morning. And congratulations to our beloved Brian O'Grady. Yes, he won the Home Run Derby. What's the American Association?
The American Association, the league that he's playing in.
Yep, plays for the Kansas City Monarchs, I believe is the name of his team, and dominated yesterday. It was actually him against a teammate in the finals. And BOG, who has really found his swing. I mean, he was like... He's been grinding hard on it, and I would love to see him get one more
shot.
Dare
I say, bring him home.
Bring him home. BOG wins the American Association's Home Run
Derby.
He was
the last hitter,
yeah.
And he needed one more home run.
One more to get it.
To win the Derby, and he got it done. Here's what it sounded like.
Come on, Hill.
Just between us. Oh, high in the air, no! Deep to right field.
Will this end
it? Brian O'Grady, goodbye!
Nice job, Brian.
He is your Jeremiah Johnson Home Run Challenge champ.
Someone is pouring a beer on his head.
Yes.
In celebration.
Good
and,
for him.
Yep, and he tweeted last night, I'm exhausted, but this was awesome. So he did win it. Congrats to BOG. And we love BOG. I would love for him to get one more shot at the bigs. Well, just one more taste.
And I want to add this doo-doo this as well. Because we missed this story, 4th of July holiday when we were gone. Terrible story. Vikings 4th-round draft pick Kyrie Jackson killed in an auto accident on July 6th. Really just tragic, about to start his professional career. The Vikings, though, yesterday made a pretty cool announcement that they are going to do what they think is the right thing. Not only are they contributing $20,000 for funeral costs, but they will be paying his entire signing bonus of $827,148 to his estate. And they will not assign his number to any other player this season.
Man.
His number 31. And the team is going to be wearing, I think, special patches or decals or something. They're going to put some stencils on the practice field. It's a nice way. For a guy who really hadn't even had a chance to join the team other than, I think, some off-season workouts at that point. They're doing the right thing by him and his family.
Oh, so sad,
which is a nice thing for the Minnesota Vikings to do.
So sad, but that is a really, really, it's the right way to handle it.
Absolutely. And that's Don't and Do This for a Tuesday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, when we come back, we're going to take you to Washington, D.C. Jesse Agler, the voice of the Padres, our first conversation in the second half of the season. Find out how the All-Star break went for Jesse in that first series against the Cleveland Guardians over the weekend. Talk to Jesse coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan. This hour, I'm Bennett Woods, brought to you by 97.3 The Fan and The Farmer's Dog. From a healthier weight to more energy, when you switch your dog's food to The Farmer's Dog, the effects can feel magical. What sorcery is this? None at all. It's just real food made for the health of dogs. Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/radio. Just had a thought. If I'm not mistaken, wasn't the first ever incorporator done in Baltimore, where the Padres are heading?
Was. Yeah.
In just a few days,
yeah, because it was mayonnaise,
and Jesse weaved it into a tale of a crab cake recipe.
Oh, God, crab cake sounds Teddy. So good.
So, and they'll be heading to Baltimore again. A very, actually, pretty convenient trip to go from Washington D.C. to Baltimore. And Jesse's standing by in D.C. He will join us right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. And we welcome Jesse in as the Padres continued. Longest road trip of the season, but maybe you were a little refreshed by the All-Star break. Makes it a little more bearable, Jesse?
Yeah, no, I mean, look, if you're going to have one three-city trip, first of all, that's not bad. You know, most teams have multiple three-city trips over the course of the season. I think next year, as I peeked at that schedule that came out, there are multiple three-city trips for the Padres. So if you're only going to have one, A, that's a win, and B, as you said, kind of coming out of the All-Star break, not bad. And then the added bonus, I heard you say it a moment ago, you know, having to go from Washington to Baltimore is about as easy as it gets. So, you know, all things considered, you know, it's a long trip certainly, but set up pretty well, I think.
Now, you got remarkably good weather in Cleveland as well. Like, it wasn't too hot, yeah. It wasn't rainy or anything. Yeah. I don't know. Wood said that maybe some rain in the forecast later this week, but that's kind of almost a minor miracle when you're traveling East Coast in July.
Yeah, no, it was so nice in Cleveland. I feel like we weren't even able to enjoy it because we know that, like, there will be a counterbalance to that.
Yes.
It's like, oh, okay, we're getting 73 in clear skies in Cleveland in late July. And, yeah, there's rain in the forecast here all week. Now, it was, like, on and off yesterday. You know, it was one of those where it says 80% chance of rain, and it looks like it's going to rain every minute of every day. But that's not how it works here. You know, it's smaller storms, you know, that kind of pop up and move around. So it could be, you know, pouring at our hotel, but not at Nationals Park 3 miles away. So, you know, I mean, in terms of the baseball this week, we'll hope to get a little bit lucky and get these in without, you know, any kind of major rain drama. But, yeah, I mean, it's supposed to be raining at some point every day we're here. You know, again, whether that means at the ballpark during the game or not, we'll see. But, you know, yesterday, off day, I was out and exploring and definitely had the umbrella, was dodging some storms. And, you know, that's just how it is on the East Coast in the summer, as you said.
D.C. is probably a pretty good town to have an off day in. If you like history, and I know you do, and I do, I can't wait till my kids are old enough to take them out there and see. Where did you go yesterday? Did you go to the Smithsonian or anything like that?
So yesterday, I you know, I'm a big Smithsonian guy,
yes.
But last year I was lucky enough, I got a White House tour, which was really special. I had never been there before. So this year I went to the National Gallery of Art, which I had never been to before.
Fancy.
Which was phenomenal. No, it's great. You know, I mean, that's the beautiful thing, right, about the National Gallery of Art, the Smithsonian. They're all free. You know, I mean, you just walk right in, there's a metal detector, and then, you know, you go off and do your thing. So, you know, if it's not your cup of tea, it's kind of on to the next. But it was wonderful, man. It's definitely an elite off day city. It's a great running city, which I like. It's a great museum city, which I like. So, yeah, man, days like that go a long way to kind of help you get through the craziness of the
season. God, I so appreciate a good running city myself. I just the better the running city, the better it is for
why
me.
Why don't you fly out here? It's like 4.5 miles from the hotel, the National Mall. It's easy, man. We get it done in like 35 minutes.
35? Yeah.
What's the worst running city? San Francisco?
Gotta be.
It's gotta be bad.
Gotta be bad.
No, I love running in San Francisco.
Up those hills?
I've got a really good route. Well, so you have to be strategic about it. The route I run from our hotel has been well planned over the years. It's one hill at the beginning, and then you're kind of downhill and then down to the Embarcadero and around the waterfront. It's beautiful.
Nice.
But the bad ones, and this is no shot, but like,
Saint
you know,
Louis.
The Cincinnati, you know, St. Louis, we stay in a nice neighborhood, so there's some running there. But, like, putting weather aside, if we stay downtown, but it's like a lot of short little blocks with a lot of lights, there's not a lot of parks. Those are the cities that are not great running cities. The beige cities.
I just had a mental image of you. Are you this guy when you're running in, let's say, Cincinnati, and a lot of blocks, you got to stop. Do you keep running while you're waiting for the walk thing to start? You know, you're
like in place?
Yeah, running in place.
Oh, yeah.
You are that guy.
No.
Thank God.
What I will do is, if I feel like I'm on a really good roll and I don't want to stop, I'll like kind of like run the other direction and like U-turn around.
Yes.
But I'm not going to do running in place at the walk sign.
I'm so glad now, that we could still be friends. All these things.
Do you wear like Padres gear? Because they have you know, like athletic gear when you're running from the club, or
no.
You do?
No, no. I have Padre gear.
Yeah,
I try not to generally wear Padre gear unless I'm working, like a polo, okay. You know that I have.
Yeah.
Around the house is one thing, but like when I'm out and about, not really.
Do you think he runs in like a Profar jersey or something?
Not a jersey, but like one of the t-shirt tops that the players will wear like spring training. I wasn't sure. I was just curious. I'm trying to paint a mental picture for myself of Jesse running through the streets of Washington, D.C.
Batting practice top, Padres shorts.
I work out sometimes in the Padres jerseys.
All right. Jesse Agler joins us this morning.
Those City Connect shorts they have.
Yeah, the City Connect. You look so good in those. Me too, with my creamy white legs. Just incredible.
Yeah. With the compression shorts coming out of the bottom. It's a good look for me.
It's a total give up, man. Jesse Agler joins us live from Washington, D.C. right now here on Ben and Woods. And we were talking about it earlier, Jesse. I'm of the opinion that probably the fireworks that happened at Petco Park, I just a gut feeling on my behalf. Just I feel like it's probably over, but then again, I've been wrong many, many times. Do you foresee anything carrying over? I guess is it game dependent? If they go high and tight to Profar, will it get the hairs on the back of the neck standing up?
It's a fun one to think about, and we obviously have been kicking that around amongst ourselves the last couple of days because it's definitely recent enough and it was explosive enough, you know, that you can't write it off completely. I think what you just said is kind of the thing. As long as there's no further stuff.
Yeah.
I imagine, look, both teams need wins. You know, so, I mean, when you get into that position, you know, if you want to distract yourself with that kind of thing, it can really go against you. And we may have seen that with the Nationals, you know, when they were in town last month. But like you said, even if one just gets away, even if it's like a slider, right, and it gets away and it's a bad look, you know, there does come a point, right, where push becomes shove.
Yeah.
I don't know that, like I said, I my gut says, nah, you know, the Padres swept the series. They took care of whatever they needed to take care of. You know, the Nationals obviously were upset after the first game. They did what they thought they needed to do after that. So it should be done. But again, yeah, if something happens in the game, you know, you figure maybe fuses could be a little shorter than they would be, you know, had this series been against any other team, because of what happened, you know, fairly recently. So, all eyes on K-Bert Ruiz, I guess, as the series begins. But my gut says so long as there's nothing wonky that happens, you know, it's already done. You know, the Padres got the best revenge last month at Petco. They won all three games of those series. You know, they did so in dramatic fashion the first couple of nights. You know, that last game, remember, the Nats attempted a comeback, but it kind of fizzled out, and the Padres got what they needed, which was a sweep and their best homestand of the season to this point. That was that 6-1 homestand against the Brewers and the Nationals. So, look, at this point, you know, what are they now? Two games back over 500. You got the trade deadline bearing down in a hurry. Remember, the Padres will not play another home game until after the trade deadline. Now, it'll be 3.5 hours after the trade deadline against the Dodgers on the 30th. But, like, there's a lot going on here that matters a lot. And so that's mostly why I expect, you know, kind of business as usual. But you never know.
And, Jesse, we're certainly expecting the Padres to try to add some pitching help. Yet, argument can be made that the last three games, as good of starting pitching as the Padres have gotten all season long. And awesome. They've had good pitching at points during the season, but that series in Cleveland, just your thoughts on what you saw from Waldron, from Cease, and from King.
I mean, it's a really good reminder of what baseball looks like when you get great starting pitching. You know, and it's not easy and it's not automatic, and those guys all, you know, deserve an endless amount of credit. But, you know, that old cliche about, you know, good starting pitching being good hitting, it's true. And if you're able to get not only quality starting pitching, but deep starting pitching, you're going to win so many games. It's what it's always come down to in the sport. A million things have changed, you know, since the days of Babe Ruth. But one thing that has not changed and probably will never change is if, and I know it's a huge if these days, but if you're able to get that kind of starting pitching, you're going to win an awful lot of games. And, you know, we saw Matt Waldron just absolutely nasty with the knuckleball. Cease was borderline unhittable in that second game. And then, you know, Michael King basically picked up right where Cease left off, which was remarkable in the final game on Sunday. You know, the Guardians were in a little bit of an offensive lull going into that series, you know, into the All-Star break, as the Padres were. But they got some really talented hitters on that team, including, you know, one of the guys I think is a top three hitter in baseball, and Jose Ramirez. and the Padres just tied those guys up in knots the entire weekend. It was awesome. You know, it's a very kind of good tease of like, boy, what could a playoff series look like? You know, if those guys are pitching like that. But as you said, you know, in order to be able to get to a position where you're able to roll those guys out in a playoff series, you're probably going to need some help. And the reality is the Padres are not alone in terms of needing more when it comes to pitching. So it's going to be a fascinating, what is it, week now, you know, between now and the All-Star, I mean, the trade deadline, because, I mean, the supply and demand is way out of whack. And that creates kind of a fun chaos around baseball. It really does.
Yeah, it absolutely does. Talking to Jesse Agler here on Ben and Woods this morning. And one thing you always hear about, maybe even worry about when you're a fan, at least, and you say, man, the vibes in
you
this,
worry?
I a little bit.
Less
than I used to. Really, less than last year. I'm worrying way less this year than I was last year. And that's kind of the direction of this question was, you know, you hear, hey, you don't want to remove this guy from the clubhouse because the clubhouse would crumble, or you got to make sure that the chemistry is right. You're around this team, you know, way more than us. In comparison to last year, is there a palpable difference between the chemistry this year and last?
Oh, for sure.
Okay.
For
yeah, we
sure.
see it.
I don't think
you know, we see it on
about it.
You see it on TV. You hear, you know, stuff out of the just you're hearing way less about anything, you know, dramatic going on this year. It does
it's like
seem
the only words Jackson Merrill knows. We had each other's backs.
We got each other's
we're
backs.
We're family.
Yeah, we're family. It is pretty refreshing to see. And you know, you do worry about chemistry being affected, but if you get the right piece, I don't think you have to worry about that at all.
It's one of the really, really nasty variables that is almost impossible to account for before a trade. Because look, the reality is, look at this, you know, from a purely mathematical standpoint, like ice cold numbers on a spreadsheet. The Padres want pitching. So they're going to go out and they're going to look at who the best pitchers are, who are available, that they think they have the prospect and roster, capital to go out and get. And you almost, in a way, can't think about personality. Now, do you check on a guy? Sure, you want to make sure he's not a total cancer, a total knucklehead. But, like, they need pitching. And that is the priority over chemistry. Because you can have all the great vibes in the world, but if you have a couple of starters who can't get out of the fifth inning on a regular basis, it ain't going to matter, right? Because you're not going to get to where you're trying to get to. But that does matter. And, like, that stuff does matter. And it's, as you pointed out really well, it's not just, all right, what is the guy you're bringing in? But it's also, if there's a guy or two leaving, what did they provide? So it's a very, very difficult piece of the puzzle. You know, if we're going to call the roster construction a puzzle, you know, I think the trade deadline, you're dealing with a lot of pieces that are face down. And you're really like, all right, I think this fits over here, but could also be totally on the other side of the thing because, you know, I can't see the picture. And that's the quote unquote fun of being a general manager in this league, because that stuff is huge, but really, really difficult to account for unless, you know the guy personally or somebody in your front office has been around him before or that kind of thing. But like, you know, whenever, you know, this team makes a move or is getting ready to make a move, you know, they have in the past, I know for a fact, you know, gone to guys on the roster who have played with player X and been like, hey, talk to me about what kind of guy he is.
Sure, yeah.
And that's good to get that intel, but it doesn't always necessarily mean, you know, you're getting the right information. You know, just because two guys were friends in some other city doesn't mean it's going to work perfectly here. So again, you're trying to get as much data and information as possible to try and make an informed decision, but it is still really, really difficult. You know, I remember you got us having a conversation a couple of weeks ago, the cliche about sometimes the best trades are the ones you don't make. I mean, it's tricky. It's really, really tricky. But all that being said, I do expect action. I think everybody does. You know, and so buckle up. I mean, it could certainly start before the deadline. And then, you know, as I said, I think the deadline is a week from today at 3 p.m. San Diego time. So get ready. We'll see.
All right, Incorporator time. And Jesse, since you're heading back to Baltimore, scene of the original crime, I thought we'd do a little throwback, a food-related Incorporator for today. But, of course, they've gotten much more challenging over the years. So, Paulie, if you would, please.
Fenugreek.
Fenugreek. An Indian spice with bitter seeds and aromatic green leaves that have a maple-like aroma and are less bitter than the seeds. Fenugreek.
Ooh.
I've never had that. Have you?
You probably have.
Oh, maybe I have.
Yeah, you probably have.
Like
yeah.
in a curry of some sort.
I don't really eat Indian food.
A huge curry guy.
No, I eat chicken nuggets and mac and cheese.
You can find it in the supermarket if you keep sharp eyes out. It's
fenugreek.
It's not that exotic, but yeah.
It's an exotic word. Yeah, I like that.
But it's an odd word and one you wouldn't normally find
in a baseball. You're not going to find it at the ballpark. That I can promise you,
probably
right? You're not
going to
find fenugreek there?
Maybe at Spiro's in one of their bowls or something. I don't know. You can find somewhere at Nationals Park you think has a fenugreek stand.
Maybe, you know, like an Indian food stand. You know, I mean, I love Indian food, and the number of spices that goes into like every dish is remarkable. If you've ever, you know, looked at a recipe for Indian food, I mean, it's like thing after thing after thing.
Yeah.
Just delicious.
That's what a curry really is. It's a spice blend.
Yeah.
It's just a blend of a lot of spices.
Yeah, you learn a lot on Ben and Woods. You really do.
Jesse, have a great rest of your road trip. Safe trip back to San Diego next week for the trade deadline and the Dodgers. When we talk to you next Tuesday, should be an interesting week.
I'll be in Hawaii, buddy, so aloha and mahalo.
You're taking the deadline off. Wow.
Like I had a choice. I just go where I'm told.
Yeah, if either one of us did this,
yeah.
I mean,
we'd be killed.
Ben did it. Remember when he did it? He did
it. Absolutely killed.
Kill me. I'll be drinking a pina colada from a coconut. I don't care.
Let's let Jesse go. Thank you, Jesse.
Bye, Jesse.
Bye, Jesse.
There goes Jesse Agler.
He said the same thing that Adam said when I submitted my vacation. You know, that's the deadline. Yeah, I don't have a choice.
There is a chance.
Can I just flown out on Wednesday?
Nothing really big happens. And you'll be like, glad I went on my vacation because they didn't do much. And there's not much to talk about.
That's exactly right.
There could be a massive move.
When you left, wasn't it the Scherzer non-get?
It was the non-get.
Oh,
the non-trade.
It was excruciating.
Yeah. That was awful.
I mean, we're in here defending Dennis Lynn all morning because that's our guy.
That's the thing. If they hadn't inaccurately reported anything, it would have been a pretty quiet deadline.
Why do you hate Dennis Lynn now? Inaccurate reporting. That's Ken Rosenthal. Yeah.
I mean, it was an inaccurate report that drove all the talk that year.
I did not
Let's
have a choice.
We don't
Jeter
have to do
in the
that
chat
this year.
Says I had a choice. I didn't have a choice.
The All-Star break last week.
Back next with more Ben and Woods on the Fan. This hour on Ben and Woods, brought to you by 97.3 The Fan and The Farmer's Dog. From a healthier weight to more energy, when you switch your dog's food to The Farmer's Dog, the effects can feel magical. What sorcery is this? None at all. It's just real food made for the health of dogs. Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/radio. Just had a thought. If I'm not mistaken, wasn't the first ever incorporator done in Baltimore, where the Padres are heading?
It was, yeah.
In just a few days,
yeah, because it was mayonnaise,
and Jesse weaved it into a tale of a crab cake recipe.
Oh, God, crab
with
cake
Uncle
sounds
Teddy.
So good.
So, and they'll be heading to Baltimore again. A very, actually, pretty convenient trip to go from Washington D.C. to Baltimore. And Jesse's standing by in D.C. He will join us right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Now we welcome Jesse in as the Padres continued. Longest road trip of the season, but maybe you were a little refreshed by the All-Star break. Makes it a little more bearable, Jesse?
Yeah, no, I mean, look, if you're going to have one three-city trip, first of all, that's not bad. You know, most teams have multiple three-city trips over the course of the season. I think next year, as I peeked at that schedule that came out, there are multiple three-city trips for the Padres. So if you're only going to have one, A, that's a win, and B, as you said, kind of coming out of the All-Star break, not bad. And then the added bonus, I heard you say it a moment ago, you know, having to go from Washington to Baltimore is about as easy as it gets. So, you know, all things considered, you know, it's a long trip, certainly, but set up pretty well, I think.
Now, you got remarkably good weather in Cleveland as well. Like, it wasn't too hot.
Yeah.
It wasn't rainy or anything.
Yeah.
I don't know. Wood said that maybe some rain in the forecast later this week, but that's kind of almost a minor miracle when you're traveling East Coast in July.
Yeah, no, it was so nice in Cleveland. I feel like we weren't even able to enjoy it because we know that, like, there will be a counterbalance to that.
Yes.
It's like, oh, okay, we're getting 73 in clear skies in Cleveland in late July. And, yeah, there's rain in the forecast here all week. Now, it was, like, on and off yesterday. You know, it was one of those where it says 80% chance of rain, and it looks like it's going to rain every minute of every day. But that's not how it works here. You know, it's smaller storms. You know, they kind of pop up and move around. So it could be, you know, pouring at our hotel, but not at Nationals Park 3 miles away. So, you know, I mean, in terms of the baseball this week, we'll hope to get a little bit lucky and get these in without, you know, any kind of major rain drama. But, yeah, I mean, it's supposed to be raining at some point every day we're here. You know, again, whether that means at the ballpark during the game or not, we'll see. But, you know, yesterday, off day, I was out and exploring and definitely had the umbrella, was dodging some storms. And, you know, that's just how it is on the East Coast in the summer, as you said.
D.C. is probably a pretty good town to have an off day in. If you like history, and I know you do, and I do, I can't wait till my kids are old enough to take them out there and see. Where did you go yesterday? Did you go to the Smithsonian or anything like that?
So yesterday, I you know, I'm a big Smithsonian guy.
Yes.
But last year, I was lucky enough, I got a White House tour, which was really special. I had never been there before. So this year, I went to the National Gallery of Art, which I had never been to before.
Fancy.
Which was phenomenal. No, it's great. You know, I mean, that's the beautiful thing, right, about the National Gallery of Art, the Smithsonian. They're all free. You know, I mean, you just walk right in. There's a metal detector, and then, you know, you go off and do your thing. So, you know, if it's not your cup of tea, it's kind of on to the next. But it was wonderful, man. It's definitely an elite off day city. It's a great running city, which I like. It's a great museum city, which I like. So, yeah, man, days like that go a long way to kind of help you get through the craziness of the
God,
city.
God, I so appreciate a good running city myself. I just, the better the running
that,
city,
yeah,
the better it is for
why
me.
Don't you, yeah. Why don't you fly out here? It's like 4.5 miles from the hotel, yeah, the National Mall. It's easy, man. We get it done in like 35 minutes.
35? Yeah.
What's the worst running city? San Francisco?
Gotta be.
It's gotta be bad.
Gotta be bad.
No, I love running in San Francisco.
Up those hills?
I've got a really good route. Well, so you have to be strategic about it. The route I run from our hotel has been well planned over the years. It's one hill at the beginning, and then you're kind of downhill and then down to the Embarcadero and around the waterfront. It's beautiful.
Oh, nice.
But the bad ones, and this is no shot, but like,
Saint
you know,
Louis.
Cincinnati, you know, St. Louis, we stay in a nice neighborhood, so there's some running there. But, like, putting weather aside, if we stay downtown, but it's, like, a lot of short little blocks with a lot of lights, there's not a lot of parks, those are the cities that are not great running cities. The beige cities.
I just had a mental image of you. Are you this guy when you're running in, let's say, Cincinnati, in a lot of blocks, you got to stop. Do you keep running while you're waiting for the walk thing to start? You know, you're
like in place?
Yeah, running in place.
Oh, yeah.
You are
yeah.
that guy.
No.
Nah. No,
no, no, no, no.
Thank God.
What I will do is, if I feel like I'm on a really good roll and I don't want to stop, I'll like kind of like run the other direction
yeah.
and like you turn around.
Yes.
But I'm not going to do running in place at the walk sign.
I'm so glad
now,
that we
I'm
could still be
about
friends.
All these things. Do you wear like Padres gear? Because they have, you
Padres
know, like athletic gear when you're running from the club, or
no.
you do?
No,
no.
I have Padre gear.
Yeah.
I try not to generally wear Padre gear unless I'm working, like a polo,
okay.
you know, that I have.
Yeah.
Around the house is one thing, but like when I'm out and about, not really.
Do you think he runs in like a Profar jersey or something?
Not a jersey, but like one of the t-shirt tops that the players will wear like spring
shirt.
Training. I wasn't sure. I was
all
just
right.
curious.
All
I'm
right.
trying to paint a mental picture for myself of Jesse running through the streets of Washington, D.C.
Batting practice top.
Yeah,
Padres
for sure.
shorts.
I work out sometimes in the Padres jerseys.
All right. Jesse yeah. Agler joins
those
us this
City
morning.
City Connect shorts they have.
Yeah, the City Connect. You look so good in those. Me too, with my creamy white legs. Just incredible.
Yeah. With the compression shorts coming out of the bottom. It's a good look for me.
It's a total give up, man. Jesse Agler joins us live from Washington, D.C. right now here on Ben Woods. And we were talking about it earlier, Jesse. I'm of the opinion that probably the fireworks that happened at Petco Park, I just a gut feeling on my behalf, just I feel like it's probably over. But then again, I've been wrong many, many times. Do you foresee anything carrying over? I guess is it game dependent? If they go high and tight to Pro Far, will it get the hairs on the back of the neck standing up?
It's a fun one to think about, and we obviously have been kicking that around amongst ourselves the last couple of days because it's definitely recent enough and it was explosive enough, you know, that you can't write it off completely. I think what you just said is kind of the thing. As long as there's no further stuff,
yeah,
I imagine. Look, both teams need wins, you know. So I mean, when you get into that position, you know, if you want to distract yourself with that kind of thing, it can really go against you. And we may have seen that with the Nationals, you know, when they were in town last month. But like you said, even if one just gets away, even if it's like a slider, right, and it gets away and it's a bad look, you know, there does come a point, right, where push becomes shove.
Yeah.
I don't know that, like I said, I my gut says, nah, you know, the Padres swept the series. They took care of whatever they needed to take care of. You know, the Nationals obviously were upset after the first game. They did what they thought they needed to do after that. So it should be done. But again, yeah, if something happens in the game, you know, you figure maybe fuses could be a little shorter than they would be, you know, had this series been against any other team, because of what happened, you know, fairly recently. So, All eyes on K-Bear Ruiz, I guess, as the series begins. But my gut says, so long as there's nothing wonky that happens, it's already done. You know, the Padres got the best revenge last month at Petco. They won all three games of those series. They did so in dramatic fashion the first couple of nights. And that last game, remember, the Nats attempted a comeback, but it kind of fizzled out, and the Padres got what they needed, which was a sweep and their best homestand of the season to this point. That was that 6-1 homestand against the Brewers and the Nationals. So, look, at this point, you know, what are they now? Two games back over 500. You got the trade deadline bearing down in a hurry. Remember, the Padres will not play another home game until after the trade deadline. Now, it'll be 3.5 hours after the trade deadline against the Dodgers on the 30th. But, like, there's a lot going on here that matters a lot. And so that's mostly why I expect, you know, kind of business as usual. But you never know.
And, Jesse, we're certainly expecting the Padres to try to add some pitching help. Yet, argument can be made that the last three games, as good of starting pitching as the Padres have gotten all season long. And awesome. They've had good pitching at points during the season, but that series in Cleveland, just your thoughts on what you saw from Waldron, from Cease, and from King.
I mean, it's a really good reminder of what baseball looks like when you get great starting pitching. You know, and it's not easy and it's not automatic, and those guys all, you know, deserve an endless amount of credit. But, you know, that old cliche about, you know, good starting pitching being good hitting, it's true. And if you're able to get not only quality starting pitching, but deep starting pitching, you're going to win so many games. It's what it's always come down to in the sport. A million things have changed, you know, since the days of Babe Ruth. But one thing that has not changed and probably will never change is if, and I know it's a huge if these days, but if you're able to get that kind of starting pitching, you're going to win an awful lot of games. And, you know, we saw Matt Waldron just absolutely nasty with the knuckleball. Cease was borderline unhittable in that second game. And then, you know, Michael King basically picked up right where Cease left off, which was remarkable in the final game on Sunday. You know, the Guardians were in a little bit of an offensive lull going into that series, you know, into the All-Star break, as the Padres were. But they got some really talented hitters on that team, including, you know, one of the guys I think is a top three hitter in baseball, and Jose Ramirez. And the Padres just tied those guys up in knots the entire weekend. It was awesome. You know, it's a very kind of good tease of, like, boy, what could a playoff series look like, you know, if those guys are pitching like that. But as you said, you know, in order to be able to get to a position where you're able to roll those guys out in a playoff series, you're probably going to need some help. And the reality is the Padres are not alone in terms of needing more when it comes to pitching. So it's going to be a fascinating, what is it, week now, you know, between now and the trade deadline, because, I mean, the supply and demand is way out of whack. And that creates kind of a fun chaos around baseball. It really does.
Yeah, it absolutely does. Talking to Jesse Agler here on Ben and Woods this morning. And one thing you always hear about, maybe even worry about when you're a fan, at least, and you say, man, the vibes in
you
this,
worry?
I a little bit.
Less than
I used to. Really, less than last year. I'm worrying way less this year than I was last year. And that's kind of the direction of this question was, you know, you hear, hey, you don't want to remove this guy from the clubhouse because the clubhouse would crumble, or you got to make sure that the chemistry is right. You're around this team, you know, way more than us. In comparison to last year, is there a palpable difference between the chemistry this year and last?
Oh, for sure.
Okay.
For
yeah,
sure.
We see
I don't
it. You know, we see it on
it.
You see it on TV. You hear, you know, stuff out of the just you're hearing way less about anything, you know, dramatic going on this year. It does
like
seem
the only words Jackson Merrill knows. We got each other's backs.
We got each other's
we're
backs.
We're family.
Yeah, we're family. It is pretty refreshing to see. And, you know, you do worry about chemistry being affected, but if you get the right piece, I don't think you have to worry about that at all.
It's one of the really, really nasty variables that is almost impossible to account for before a trade. Because look, the reality is, look at this, you know, from a purely mathematical standpoint, like ice cold numbers on a spreadsheet. The Padres want pitching. So they're going to go out and they're going to look at who the best pitchers are, who are available, that they think they have the prospect and roster, capital to go out and get. And you almost, in a way, can't think about personality. Now, do you check on a guy? Sure, you want to make sure he's not a total cancer, a total knucklehead, but, like, they need pitching, and that is the priority over chemistry, because you can have all the great vibes in the world, but if you have a couple of starters who can't get out of the fifth inning on a regular basis, it ain't going to matter, right, because you're not going to get to where you're trying to get to. But that does matter, And like that stuff does matter. And it's, as you pointed out really well, it's not just, all right, what is the guy you're bringing in? But it's also, if there's a guy or two leaving, yep. what did they provide? So it's a very, very difficult piece of the puzzle. You know, it's, if we're going to call the roster construction a puzzle, you know, I think the trade deadline, you're dealing with a lot of pieces that are face down. And you're really like, you're like, all right, I think this fits over here, but could also be totally on the other side of the thing because, you know, I can't see the picture. And that's the quote unquote fun of being a general manager in this league, because that stuff is huge, but really, really difficult to account for unless, you know the guy personally or somebody in your front office has been around him before or that kind of thing. But like, you know, whenever, you know, this team makes a move or is getting ready to make a move, you know, they have in the past, I know for a fact, you know, gone to guys on the roster who have played with player X. I mean, like, hey, talk to me about what kind of guy he is.
Sure, yeah,
and that's good to get that intel, but it doesn't always necessarily mean, you know, you're getting the right information. You know, just because two guys were friends in some other city doesn't mean it's going to work perfectly here. So, again, you're trying to get as much data and information as possible to try and make an informed decision, but it is still really, really difficult. You know, I remember you got us having a conversation a couple weeks ago, the cliche about sometimes the best trades are the ones you don't make. I mean, it's tricky. It's really, really tricky. But all that being said, I do expect action. I think everybody does, you know, and so buckle up. I mean, it could certainly start before the deadline. And then, you know, as I said, I think the deadline is a week from today at 3 p.m. San Diego time. So get ready. We'll see.
All right, Incorporator time. And Jesse, since you're heading back to Baltimore, scene of the original crime, I thought we'd do a little throwback, a food-related Incorporator for today, but of course they've gotten much more challenging over the years. So, Pauly, if you would, please.
Fenugreek.
An Indian spice with bitter seeds and aromatic green leaves that have a maple-like aroma and are less bitter than the seeds. Fenugreek.
Ooh.
I've never had that. Have you?
You probably have.
Oh, maybe I have.
Yeah, you probably have.
Like
yeah.
in a curry of some sort. I don't really eat Indian food. Huge curry guy.
Yeah, I eat chicken nuggets and mac
and
cheese.
You can find it in the supermarket if you keep sharp eyes out. It's
fenugreek.
It's not that exotic, but yeah.
It's an exotic word. Yeah, I like that.
But it's an odd word and one you wouldn't normally find.
You're not going to find it at the ballpark. That I can promise you,
probably
right? You're not
going to
find fenugreek there.
Maybe it's Spiro's in one of their bowls or something. I don't know. You can find somewhere at Nationals Park you think has a fenugreek stand.
Maybe, you know, like an Indian food stand. You know, I mean, I love Indian food, and the number of spices that goes into like every dish is remarkable. If you've ever, you know, looked at a recipe for Indian food, I mean, it's like thing after thing after thing.
Yeah.
Just delicious.
That's what a curry really is. It's a spice blend.
Yeah.
It's just a blend of a lot of spices.
Yeah, you learn a lot on Ben and Woods. You really do.
Jesse, have a great rest of your road trip. Safe trip back to San Diego next week for the trade deadline and the Dodgers. When we talk to you next Tuesday, should be an interesting week.
I'll be in Hawaii, buddy, so aloha and mahalo.
You're taking the deadline off. Wow.
Like I had a choice. I just go where I'm told.
If either one of us did this,
yeah,
I mean,
we'd be
well,
killed.
Ben did it. He did it. He did
and
it.
I got absolutely killed.
Kill me. I'll be drinking a pina colada from a coconut. I don't care.
Let's let Jesse go. Thank you, Jesse.
Bye, Jesse.
Bye, Jesse.
There goes Jesse Agler.
He said the same thing that Adam said when I submitted my vacation. You know, that's the deadline. Yeah, I don't have a choice.
What you know, there is a chance.
Can I just flown out on Wednesday?
Nothing really big happens, and you'll be like, glad I went on my vacation because they didn't do much and there's not much to talk about.
That's exactly right.
There could be a massive move.
When you left, wasn't it the Scherzer non-get?
It was the non-get.
Yeah. Oh,
the non-trade.
It was excruciating.
Yeah. That was awful.
I mean, we're in here defending Dennis Lynn all morning because that's our guy.
That's the thing. If they hadn't inaccurately reported anything, it would have been a pretty quiet deadline.
Why do you hate Dennis Lynn now? Inaccurate reporting. That's Ken Rosenthal. Yeah.
I mean, it was an inaccurate report that drove all the talk that year.
I did not
have
a choice. Jeter in the chat
this year
says I had a choice. I didn't. I didn't have a choice.
The All-Star break last week.
Back next with more Ben and Woods on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.